Hey, what's up? It's me, Austin. I just want to say before this episode starts that if the video stops playing in the middle of you watching it for whatever reason, this is a thing that's been happening on all of my platforms lately on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. I've been getting a lot of videos banned, getting a lot of account strikes and account restrictions for violating community guidelines. I just want to point out that my Patreon is $1 a month. I've gone out of my way to make it as inexpensive and inobtrusive to your personal finances, as accessible as humanly possible. It's $1 a month. You can get the entire year for just $10, and all of my content goes there early, often with bonus content and exclusive content, and none of it ever gets taken down. I don't ever get restrictions or censored over there, so you can go check that out. Also, if there are any human mods from YouTube watching, I just want to let you know that my most recent video that you took down and then refused to restore, you gave me a timestamp in the video of like where the offense occurred, and it was just a part of the video where I was just showing videos of Charlie Kirk saying things. It was just things that he said in his own videos on YouTube. I just want to let you know that's going to happen again in this video. I'm going to be showing actual direct quotes from Charlie Kirk. I'm going to be playing videos of things that he said, and I just want to reiterate, these are not my opinions. I'm not the one saying these things. The person saying these things is a man who went really, really viral saying these things, got millions and millions and millions of views saying these things, and made millions of dollars. So you are happy to make him very, very successful for saying these things, but you're punishing me for just showing him saying these things. And I just want to make it clear, I don't agree with him. I'm highly critical of his takes. So just, you know, please don't take this video down, because it's just a commentary piece about a guy who said a lot of bad things. Okay, let's do the show now. Well, hello there, and welcome back. That's right, from a Blanket Fort recording studio in a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood. This is People Pleaser. I'm Austin Archer. Today, we are talking about how conservative America cosplays normal human emotion to avoid accountability. Boy, I mean, I'm not breaking news here, obviously. Charlie Kirk, the popular right-wing conservative influencer and speaker and well-known college campus debater, is not alive. His life was ended the other day, September 10th, 2025. Today, they think they have his killer in custody. 22-year-old man named Tyler Robinson, white Christian conservative man, or at least a white man who comes from a Christian conservative background, a Christian conservative community, and a Christian conservative family, raised very similar to the way I was raised, a Mormon man from Utah, which is what I am. And who knows if Tyler Robinson was still active in his faith or still active in the political persuasion of his family or political persuasion of his community at the time that he committed this act. Hi, Austin. It's Austin from 2 Days in the Future. I know that when you were recording this, you didn't know anything about Tyler Robinson, so it was the responsible thing that you just did to say, we don't know anything about his motivations, we can't, you know, we can't say anything about his political persuasions, we can only speculate. At the time, you were correct, but a lot has happened in the last couple days, so I do need to step in and issue the first of what will be many corrections or, you know, just useful additional context in this story. So, you know, a few days ago when Tyler Robinson was first arrested, we did not know a lot about him other than that he was a white man from a conservative Christian upbringing. We now have a lot of information to suggest a lot about who Tyler Robinson most likely is and what his political leanings most likely are. And that means that we do have to have a conversation. We get to have a conversation about black-pilled groiper incels. Okay, what the fuck did I just say? I know a lot of people in my audience are still, even a couple days into this, going, huh? What'd you just say? Duck-billed Jeepers Creepers Flintstones? What? Black-pilled groiper incels? None of those are words. What are you talking about? I guess black-pilled is a word. Let's just go point by point through it. So, red-pilled and blue-pilled. This is a metaphor that comes from The Matrix. The idea of being red-pilled by internet algorithms or blue-pilled by internet algorithms. Red-pilled meant that you were taken down a conservative pipeline and fed a bunch of conservative, you know, kind of like white supremacist, neo-Nazi content. And blue-pilled meant that you were taken down a social justice warrior, blue hair, you know, barista pipeline, feminism, intersectional, anti-racism, anti-fascism, all that stuff. Red-pilled youths, particularly men, are kind of guys that get taken down a pipeline that leads them to be fans of people like Charlie Kirk, people like Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh, more public-facing, more mainstream names in the conservative media landscape. And that's what red pilling is. I mean, like, a red pilled person could even be a fan potentially of someone as extreme as Andrew Tate, a MAGA hat wearing Cult 45 member who loves Donald Trump and thinks of themselves as a ride or die patriot. So what is black pilled? Here's the thing is, I think for years, a lot of people have assumed that the extreme far right in America is Donald Trump's cult, that it's Cult 45, that it is just the MAGA people. And I think that, you know, we're all having a rude awakening with this Charlie Kirk story, that it goes a lot further right. Black-pilled is, it's the next level of depravity. Like, if you think that some of the things red-pilled people say and some of the ideas that they espouse are gross and abhorrent and disgusting, which I do, you have no idea how dark it truly gets. Black-pilled people are basically people who went straight through the red pill pipeline. They ate up everything the red pill pipeline had to offer them, and they weren't satisfied. They wanted more. They wanted something even grimier, even methier. And basically, black-pilled people on the internet are people who are so disconnected from any kind of belief in any kind of way forward that they have just given up on life altogether. Black-pilled is, it's a community of people who are openly suicidal. They don't care if they live or die. They don't believe life has any meaning. They're heavily nihilistic. The difference between red-pilled and black-pilled people is red-pilled people, like Charlie Kirk, still believe that there's a chance that they can get married and have a family and make a lot of money as a capitalist. They could be a successful right-wing media grifter and have their own little multi-million dollar new media conservative empire where they grift people, they grift their audience into, they sell supplements and sell t-shirts and hats and subscriptions to terrible streaming services like Daily Wire Plus. That's what red-pilled people are. They still believe that there's something in life worth fighting for. Black-pilled people are completely hopeless. They believe that there's nothing in life worth fighting for. Basically, just like, life is just this ugly, miserable place, and the only people they care about or trust are basically other white men who are also black-pilled. Then we get to groypers, right? Nick Fuentes. Maybe you've heard this name before. Nick Fuentes was famously invited to eat dinner at Mar-a-Lago with Donald Trump. Nick Fuentes is a popular far-right media mouthpiece who is a rival of Charlie Kirk's. He sees himself as a rival because they're competing over audience. Like, Nick Fuentes wants the young men who want a heavier version of conservative hate than what Charlie Kirk is willing to feed them. Basically, the difference between Nick Fuentes and Charlie Kirk is Nick Fuentes is a Nazi who's willing to say out loud that he's a Nazi. Nick Fuentes is the guy who, when Elon Musk did the Nazi salute on stage at the inauguration, Nick Fuentes responded like this.
And then the, like, straight up, like, that was a serious Roman. It wasn't even like a subtle, like a wave, like one of these, like a Laura Ingraham. Remember when Laura Ingraham did that? That was a straight up, like, Sig Heil, like, loving Hitler energy. that was like a straight up with intensity Roman salute.
Nick Fuentes is just a far-right Nazi who's not afraid to say, yeah, that's right, baby, that's who I am. When he saw that salute, he was willing to go, I know exactly what that is, and I'm stoked about it. I love that he just did it. And Nick Fuentes didn't try to gaslight everybody and pretend like it wasn't what it was. So in one weird, demented way, you could say that like Nick Fuentes has a lot more integrity than someone like Ben Shapiro or Charlie Kirk, because he's not grifting as much, he's not lying as much, he's not like gaslighting as much, he's just being more direct about his hate. But when you actually get into like the meat of what it is that Nick Fuentes preaches to his followers, it's so gross. Like Charlie Kirk and Ben Shapiro and Matt Walsh preach all the same stuff, but they couch it in dog whistles. They hide it in coded language so that they can maintain plausible deniability. Nick Fuentes isn't interested in any of that shit. He just comes out and says it. And his followers are called Groypers. They're a bunch of terminally online gamers who feel like Nick Fuentes is the real deal because he doesn't speak in coded language, because he doesn't speak in dog whistles, because he's willing to just say it with his chest and just speak up and just actually express the vitriol and the hatred that they all feel. And the last term is incels, so involuntary celibate. It's people who believe that they are celibate against their will. They believe that they're in an unfair paradigm where women won't have sex with them, and because of that, they feel incredibly vexed by the world. They feel owed sex by women. They feel like they deserve women's bodies, and that adds to the blackpilling. That's what makes them such despondent, sad, mean, violent, cruel people. And so, yeah, there is this, like, really thriving community, because Nick Fuentes has a strong platform. He has a strong, thriving audience, and there is a lot of evidence coming out to pretty heavily suggest that Tyler Robinson, who shot Charlie Kirk, was a groiper. Now, at this point, I technically can't say, as a matter of absolute factual record, that Tyler Robinson is definitely a Nick Fuentes fan and a black-pilled groiper incel. But Tyler Robinson was definitely a black-pilled groiper incel. So, yeah, Charlie Kirk was killed by a guy who is even further right than him, even more gross than him, even more extreme than him, who killed him because he believed he wasn't extreme enough. He wasn't harsh enough with his rhetoric. And we will get back to more on that later. We will have more receipts on that later, so stay tuned. But there's a lot of evidence that pretty clearly shows that Tyler Robinson is a groiper. His social media is just covered top to bottom with groiper references and groiper memes. He literally wrote groiper memes on the shell casings. When I first saw those, I didn't know what they were, because as online as I am, I didn't even know what groipers were until this last week. I knew what being blackpilled was. I knew what being an incel was. I'd never heard the term groiper, so I didn't know what any of those memes were. Now that I know what they are, it's like if you gave a new groiper, like a brand new inductee into that cult, if you gave them a handbook that was like, welcome to the blackpilled incel cult, those memes would be on like the front page. It would be like the first thing that you read. And then also there's the Halloween costume. Tyler Robinson dressed up as the popular, like the most popular groiper meme. It's the uniform that they all wear. This is what we're learning with the Charlie Kirk situation. It was not a leftist trans black immigrant who killed Charlie Kirk. It was a far right extreme, you know, despondent, nihilistic, black-pilled groiper incel, most likely. What we do know is it's not a black person, it's not a black trans woman, it's not a drag queen, it's not any person from any marginalized community at all that committed this atrocity. But that's not stopping conservative America from levying bomb threats to black colleges. I mean, black people weren't even there. I don't even know if there was a single black person in attendance at the UVU campus. I knew people who were there personally, because again, I'm from Utah, so I had friends and family who were present. It's an incredibly traumatic event to witness. I think even people who watch the video find it incredibly horrifying and traumatic. But I want to talk about the online response from the conservative right, from America Today, because it is predictably absolutely unhinged and completely insane. It's a performance. When I talk about the fact that American conservatives are cosplaying normal human emotion right now, I'm saying they're performing what it looks like to respond normally to wanton, unchecked, rampant gun violence. You know, they see that video, and I think for many of these people, it's like it was for the first time in their lives, it clicked what is so horrible about guns, like why guns are truly such a terrifying and awful invention that like this weapon, this tool exists to do that. That thing that you watched in that video, that's why the weapon exists. And people have been saying this online all week long that it's like, hey, by the way, that's what it looks like when kindergartners get shot by an AR-15, except worse. So that video that you saw, that single bullet hole puncture from a long distance rifle, imagine that at close range with a semi-automatic rifle that's just unloading into someone who is a quarter of the size of that man. And then you'll start to understand, you know, why they had to use DNA swabs to identify children at Uvalde and things like that. But it feels like American conservatives right now, for the first time in their lives, and also many white liberals, are like having the appropriate response, the appropriate emotional response, which is like, whew, whoa, that was so fucked up. And what's so crazy is that, like, you know, all of us who have been awake to the horror of gun violence in America for the last several decades are like, yeah, hi, welcome. Welcome to the country that we live in. Welcome to the absolute hellscape nightmare that you have gleefully crafted for us to all live in. I'm glad, I guess, you seem to understand it. But here's the thing is, like, I don't actually believe that they do understand it. I don't think that they do finally get why gun violence should probably have some kind of common sense, you know, legislation around it to see if we can curb the problem somewhat. I don't think they actually do get it. I really do believe it's not genuine at all. It is a performance. They are performing what it looks like to respond to something like this normally so that they can performatively shame us for not matching their energy. In fact, I think I can say with some degree of reasonable certainty that the American right has not been radicalized by the Charlie Kirk death to believe that we need sweeping reform to our gun laws, because they've been in my comments for the last several days posting memes like this and saying things like, you know, evil exists everywhere in the world, and if you take people's guns away, they're just gonna do evil things with knives or bats or with their bare hands. And I often respond to them and just go, okay, multiple choice question here. If I wanted to end 50 lives in a matter of minutes, would the best tool to do that be A, a knife, B, some throwing stars, C, my bare hands, or D, an AR-15? And never once do they answer, oh, I get it now. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. It's a lot easier to kill a person from 200 yards away with a long-range rifle than it is with a knife or your bare hands. Okay. Yeah, I get it. No, they don't get it, and they most likely never will, but that's not gonna stop me from endlessly trying. A father with kids. And we're all sitting there going, yeah, you know that there was another high school shooting, another American high school shooting the same day, right? Do you guys want to talk about that too? Should we all, oh, more kids at school? Not a single one of them is saying that, which is how we know immediately it's a performance. And we can make it look like the left is the ideology in the country that has the real problem. The left is the ideology that is sickeningly okay with violence. That the left is the ideology that is completely unmoved emotionally by acts of rampant, unchecked gun violence, and not the right. And it's just a fucking stupid performance, right? Because there is no position on the American right that is consistent with the next position. Like, everything is just a contradiction after a contradiction after a contradiction after a contradiction. It is the party of cognitive dissonance. And also, you know, we just know that this is a performance because it's just not consistent with their character on literally anything else that is similar to this event. When you see people on the left having the same level of like concern and energy for a Venezuelan boat being blown up by the Navy as they do for like little kids being shot in school, or hearing about the SEAL Team 6 Navy SEALs killing a bunch of North Korean fishermen. When we keep that energy consistent, you know it's not a performance, because we're always saying this is all fucked up. So like when like we keep it consistent going, hey, just so you know, 70 Palestinians died the other day when Charlie Kirk died. And that happens every single day in Gaza. So I know you guys are all really upset about a father being killed in front of his children. Fathers are killed in front of their children every single day in Gaza. Parents die in front of their kids in horrific ways every single day in the Gaza Strip. Children die in front of their parents every single day over there. It's become so normal. It's sort of too much to process. And we try to keep our response to the rampant, unchecked violence in the world consistent. The only time you'll ever hear this kind of a response from conservative America, the only time you'll ever get to witness this performance, is when it involves a white, straight, Christian, conservative, capitalist male who is successful and has a family. That's it. That's the only time you'll ever see them break out the waterworks. They'll be posting videos with sad music behind it. How could anyone feel this way? How could anyone not understand how horrible what's happened? We understand it. We get it. We don't believe you. It's crazy the amount of conservatives who are online right now denouncing violence, saying political violence it's so senseless. Just because someone has a different opinion than you, and it's not just conservatives, it's also a lot of white liberals. Just because someone has a different opinion than you, you go out and do violence? Violence is not the answer. And in the same breath, these conservatives who are denouncing violence and their performance of regular, normal human emotion, in the same breath, they will go on to call directly for violence against their political rivals. They will just move right on to a call for violence directly against their political rivals. They'll be like, how could the left is so unhinged. The violence from the left is so crazy. Violence is never the answer. And that's why I want every single Democrat looking at this post to understand that this is war. You have rung a bell that cannot be unrung, and we will find you. We will track down every single last one of you. Did you know that right now, conservatives have an online doxing site where they are just making a giant hit list of thousands of names, tens of thousands of names of people who have said things online that make it look like they're not sufficiently upset about Charlie Kirk's death? It's called something like, Help Us Find Charlie Kirk's Killers, killers plural, and they're basically just saying, every single person on this hit list, where we're saying their name and their location, and if we can find it, their address, we are holding them personally accountable for Charlie Kirk's death, and do with that information what you will. This is a nice time to pause and remind everyone that it was not a leftist or a liberal who killed Charlie Kirk. It was not a person who is even remotely associated with the ideological left in any way. It was a black-pilled groiper incel. It was not a non-binary barista from Bushwick. It was an ultra-nationalist, ultra-right-wing, white male Nazi. It's a performance. It's a fucking act. Don't fall for it. It's fucking pathetic how many white liberals see this performance and go, they're right. It's true. They're right. I mean, I can't believe it. They're putting a hit list out there with probably your name on it. It's so crazy that we've been living with these people and their rhetoric this long, and we're somehow taken in by this incredibly obvious lie that they're all telling right now. And I mean, their leaders are just pushing ahead with calls for direct violence against their rivals.
The radicals on the right. Oftentimes they're radical because they don't want to see crime. They're saying, we don't want these people coming in. We don't want you burning our shopping centers. We don't want you shooting our people in the middle of the street. The radicals on the left are the problem. And they're vicious and they're horrible and they're politically savvy. Although they want men and women sports, they want transgender for everyone, they want open borders.
What the president is doing in that clip is engaging in stochastic terrorism. So people look at that and they go, well, he's not calling specifically for violence. He didn't get on Fox News and say, I think all of the people who follow me and who support Charlie Kirk and his family should go out and do violence to the radical left. But he is using language and rhetoric that stokes violence and anger toward people on the left. He is saying, hey, listen, if you don't like the violence that was done to Charlie Kirk and his family, the only people you need to blame are progressive leftists in the country, radical leftists. So anyone that you see online who isn't expressing sufficient sorrow for what happened, you should put them on your list. He doesn't have to explicitly say that. He can lead them to that. Let them fill in the gaps. That's what stochastic terrorism is. A lot of people don't know what this term is. They hear it thrown around online a lot. What is stochastic terrorism? This is just from Wikipedia, but they nailed it. I mean, listen, if Wikipedia gets it right, you don't need to go somewhere else that's like more reputable than Wikipedia. If they get it right, then it works, okay? Stochastic terrorism is a form of political violence instigated by hostile public rhetoric directed at a group or individual. Unlike incitement to terrorism, stochastic terrorism is accomplished with indirect, vague, or coded language, which grants the instigator plausible deniability for any associated violence. So specifically, the definition of stochastic terrorism, the reason why Charlie Kirk was a very accomplished stochastic terrorist, the reason why what the president is doing on Fox and Friends is stochastic terrorism is specifically because of the vague nature of the language. It's clear what he's implying. It's clear where he's leading people to, saying, hey, if you want to do something about the problem of political violence in America, it is a problem that exists only on the left. It is radical leftists who you need to be holding responsible. And he's talking to a base of people who he knows are well-armed and who he knows are willing to do violence in his name. Like, you really don't have to reach to connect these dots. And this is what Charlie Kirk and people like him spend their lives doing. By the way, this is a good time to remind you that this is one of the key grievances that Groypers have with more mainstream MAGA people. They don't like that they use indirect language and that they speak in coded language. They don't like that one of their main rhetorical tools is stochastic terrorism that relies on vague language so that they can maintain plausible deniability. Groypers would prefer it if their leaders would just be more direct about what their goals are and just be more forthright about their bigotry and their hate and their violent intentions. Keep that in mind for a thing that's going to come up later in the episode. And I feel like the response from conservatives could be like, well, maybe he's not trying to get people to, you know, kill people, or, you know, maybe that doxing site isn't about, it's not a hit list. It's just like, we want people to lose their jobs. We want people to get fired over this. We want people to have consequences. Again, no conservative position is ever consistent with the next conservative position. It's just one contradiction after another, because people who say this, people who are like, we're not putting out hit lists with these doxing sites. We just want people to lose their jobs. These are the exact people who, anytime one of them loses their job for being caught being racist in public or homophobic in public or transphobic or misogynistic or whatever, what have you, they go, it's so ridiculous that the left comes after, that they'll ruin a person's whole life. They'll take away a person's livelihood just because they disagree with them, just because that person has a different opinion. But that's because conservatives really are okay with being like full on mask off and saying, no, we get to do it when it's us. It's okay if we dox you to make you lose your job. It's okay if we take away your livelihood because you hold opinions that we disagree with. It's just not okay when you do it to us. And like, seriously, watch this video.
In the past 2 days, I've gotten several people fired from their jobs and expelled from their schools because they celebrated and condoned the murder of Charlie Kirk. There's nothing immoral about what I'm doing. In fact, it's my moral obligation. This is righteous justice. But there's people attacking me over it, including people on the right. They're saying, cancel culture, you can't engage in cancel culture. Yes, I can. The reason cancel culture was so bad in the past is because it was petty cancel culture used against us. It was used against people like us for little things like edgy jokes or a drunken slur.
Boy, it's so refreshing when you just hear them say the quiet part out loud, right? When they just go mask off and they just say, no, it's okay when we do it. It's not okay when you do it. It's really refreshing to have them be so naked in their hypocrisy. Don't believe anything I ever say because none of my positions have any conviction behind them. I have no problem contradicting anything I say, any position I publicly take. And they don't realize that that's what they're doing, but it is nice when they do it because we can play those clips and be like, look how clear that is. Look how succinct that is. And by the way, spoiler alert, this episode is going to be full of examples just like that where it's like, mwah. Isn't that just so clear that they're on the online right now saying, don't do this? And then it's like, cool, you mean the thing you just did? Again, these people don't actually care about gun violence. They never have. Don't get fooled by the performance. They only care when it happens to someone in their immediate in-group. Charlie Kirk dies from gun violence. Oh my God, this is war. Liberals and leftists are gonna rue the day that they did this. We're gonna kill every last one of them in retaliation. We're gonna call in bomb threats to black colleges, even though it was a white conservative Christian guy. Hundreds of school children die in mass shootings. Crickets from conservatives. Not even just crickets, worse than crickets. Like, they actively come out of the woodwork to go like, so? It's mental health, not the guns. It's a mental health problem, not the guns. Okay, cool. Other countries have mental health problems. They don't have this problem with mass gun violence. So what do you think the solution could be? If everybody's dealing with mental health, but only we have this kind of unfettered access to this many different varieties of firearms, what do you think we could do to try to make it less common for kids to die this way? You know, it used to be really, really common for people to commit suicide by sticking their heads in a gas oven. And then, like, they just stopped making ovens that were gas-powered like that, and suicides by sticking your head in the oven went way down. Like, no one's sticking their head in the electric oven, right? That'd be a really brutal way to kill yourself. Like, turn the electric oven up to like 450 degrees and then just wait for it to cook your brain to death. Like, nobody's doing that. We made the mechanism less accessible so people don't use it anymore. What they've gone to, overwhelmingly, at least in America, is firearms, because firearms are much more accessible. Like, that's a thing you can get your hands on and use very easily. They don't give a shit. You know, the only time they give a shit is if it's someone like Brian Thompson, if it's someone that is an affluent, white, straight, Christian, conservative man with a family. That's the only time they even pretend to care about gun violence. We've just got decades of receipts on this. It's not even worth debating. It's insulting to believe that I should even have to pull up the receipts on receipts on receipts that we have on this. That, like, it's been very clear. For decades now, we've been saying it's the guns. Can we please, for the love of God, do something about the guns? When a bunch of kids were killed at Sandy Hook, we said, please, please, for the love of God, all these babies were just murdered. Can you please care about this? Can you please find some compassion for this and help us do something to make this less common, to just make this problem not such a just normal fact of life that we have to live with? And again and again and again, they look us straight in the face and they just say, no. They just stand on the bodies, the corpses of these dead kids, and go, no, you're not fucking taking my guns. And they say some stupid shit like, I don't know, maybe what if we had doors on schools that only lock one way? And when a shooter goes into the school, the doors lock and they lock him in there until the police come. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're talking about a door that locks the kids inside the building with the shooters? What if we had armed guards at all of the schools? Maybe that would deter it. Motherfuckers! The entire Uvalde police force and like several neighboring police forces showed up to that school within the first 15 minutes and they sat around for like hours listening to kids get slaughtered and they didn't do anything. It's a moot point. The argument holds no water. The debate is so insulting. It's so stupid. We've had it more than enough times. It's been settled. They've lost. They only care when it's one of their own. They only pretend to care when it's one of their own. Let's talk about Brian Thompson. So Brian Thompson was a CEO of a healthcare company, United Healthcare, and he was murdered by a man who is alleged to be Luigi Mangione. It has not been proven in court. We don't know who actually did it. We don't know what their actual motivations were, but what is alleged, the person who was in custody for that murder is a man named Luigi Mangione. Charlie Kirk went on his show, has stated this publicly several times. He said, I believe that we should bring back public executions. I think Luigi Mangione should be executed in public for what he did to Brian Thompson.
In fact, I even think that we should bring back, you know, public executions on certain people. No, for example, I think that Luigi Mangione guy, I think he should get the death penalty. I think that if you're going to go kill someone in the back of the head in the streets of New York and act as if I should be sympathetic because you didn't get a healthcare premium you didn't like, I think you should get the death penalty for it.
It should be public. It should be quick. It should be televised. And no, I'm not kidding. By the way, I would totally tune in to see someone get their head chopped off. And you know what? I want to watch that execution. That'll make my day better.
Let's talk about Brian Thompson. Let's actually talk about who Brian Thompson was and what his crimes against humanity were. Like I said, Brian Thompson, CEO of a healthcare company. It was their policy as a company to not pay out on policies that customers had bought into, that they had put money into those policies, and it was their policy as a company to find any excuse possible to not actually pay out on those policies so that they could keep that money and boost profits for shareholders. And so that he could get a bonus at the end of the year and put an extra wing onto his mansion, buy another boat, take another vacation with the wife and kids. And that's how that man built his personal fortune. He did it on a mountain of corpses. When Brian Thompson died, conservative America, again, it was the, you know, one of the only other times that we all of a sudden saw all of these people cosplaying a normal human reaction to someone being killed in the street. All of a sudden, everyone was like, hey, this was a human being, you guys. This was a father. He had kids. He had a wife. There were people who loved this man. And you guys are just senselessly cheering for this? What is wrong with our country? And no one is talking about the fact that Brian Thompson is responsible for millions of deaths. Conservatively, hundreds of thousands of deaths. Let's even just say it's 1,000. Let's say that he is directly responsible for 1,000 people dying because he refused to pay out on their healthcare policy. And as a result of that, 1,000 families lost a family member. Kids lost parents, parents lost kids, lovers lost their partners. 1,000 times because of one man. And we know it was actually much, 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 much more than that. And people like Charlie Kirk believe behavior like that doesn't deserve any kind of consequence. They genuinely believe that white, Christian, conservative, capitalist men can do anything they want free of consequences. And you need look no further than their cult leader, Donald J. Trump, to verify what I'm saying here. There is no crime a white, straight, Christian, conservative, capitalist male can commit that would make these people not see them as a human being with kids, a father, a family man. They know that Donald Trump's name is on that list. They know. They've been watching the story progress the same way that we've been watching it progress. They watched as he said, hey, if you elect me, I'm going to catch the criminals. I'm going to put the people on that list behind bars. I'm going to make sure that the deep state pedophiles, that they get caught and put in prison. And then they elected him, and he said, they said, yeah, it's on Pam Bondi's desk. She's dealing with it right now. Kash Patel and Pam Bondi said, you guys wait. We're going to get them. We're going to get all the deep state pedophiles. And then they said, actually, that list doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. No such thing. Okay, nobody ask any more questions about it. It's not real. And then they said, okay, it's real, but it was made up by the Democrats made it up. It was a hoax by Obama. It was a hoax. And so even if it is real, it's phony, which is what Donald Trump said. He was like, well, I'd have to look at the list because there's probably a lot of phony stuff on there. And then they were like, okay, the list is real, but we got to go through and redact some stuff first. We got to make sure that we take off all of the Republican names that are on the list. And then they were like, okay, the list, it's out there, but like, we're not going to release it. And anybody who's calling for the release of the list, that person is waging war against the administration. We're going to see that as an act of war. And then they were like, you know what? Actually, he was an FBI informant. He was actually an undercover FBI informant. And that's why he went to the pedophile island, is because he was informing undercover for the FBI. And then a day later, Mike Johnson was like, I don't know why I said that. I don't know. I panicked and that's not true. I don't know what I'm talking about. And they're watching this story unfold, knowing that the only reason the story looks the way it looks is because Donald Trump is a pedophile who's on that list. And they don't give a fuck. They're just like, that's our guy. guy. I don't care what lie he has to tell. I hope he stays alive forever. I hope nothing ever bad ever happens to him or anyone like him, because that is what American conservatism believes in. It does not matter the level of the depravity of harm and just like heinous, vile violence people like Brian Thompson bring into the world. In the mind of American conservatives, there is no crime bad enough to justify what happened to him. But in the mind of those same people, because again, every conservative position is inconsistent with the next position, in the mind of those same people, Luigi Mangione should be publicly executed. It doesn't make any fucking sense. They always come back to this thing. He was a father. He had kids. It's always that. And again, it's like, it's white liberals too right now. Hey, he was a father. First of all, a lot of people have kids. A lot of people have families. Jeffrey Dahmer had parents. He had friends that he went to school with. Hitler had a family. You know who else had kids? Like, I'm going to talk about like, okay, a person that the left felt bad about when they died who had kids. A lot of people have kids. George Floyd had kids. He's a father. He left behind three kids. George Floyd was choked to death by a white police officer on camera for 8 minutes while he begged for his life. In my opinion, the video of George Floyd being murdered by Derek Chauvin is 100 times more graphic and traumatizing than the video of what happened to Charlie Kirk. Just my opinion. You know what Charlie Kirk said about George Floyd? Charlie Kirk said, George Floyd is a scumbag and he shouldn't be celebrated. He's not a hero. I don't care that he's dead. It's pretty much an exact quote. I'm like pretty close to being word for word on that. What's really crazy is it's not just that conservatives are okay with people dying if they're not in their immediate in-group. Conservatives are regularly okay with gleefully celebrating the deaths of people who are not in their in-group. They have no problem just being like, I don't give a shit at all that George Floyd's dead. I think it's awesome and I think he deserved it. And what's really, really crazy is they don't even need a good reason to feel that way. We actually have like a list of grievances that we're like, well, here are the reasons why I don't think Charlie Kirk was a good person. And here are the reasons why I don't support the harm and the violence that he introduced into the world and the hate that he spread through his rhetoric. Like I actually have like real substantive reasons to think that that person wasn't a good person. Conservatives will do this victory dance on the graves of people that we mourn for, and they won't even have a good argument. Like they don't even have a good reason. So let's get into like George Floyd's crimes here, because this is a big thing that conservatives like to talk about on their podcasts and in their documentaries is like, George Floyd wasn't a good guy. He was a criminal. Yeah, if you just look into George Floyd's criminal history, it's like, yep, he's got a few drug charges, and then also was charged for armed robbery with a deadly weapon. Not great, not great stuff. Do you know that the penalty for a drug charge and armed robbery with a deadly weapon is not to be executed in the street by being choked to death by a police officer? TikTok just banned my live, of course. They banned my live. I figured they would. The TikTok digital studio audience was here. They are no longer here. TikTok has banned my live. Of course. Figures. But let's keep going. That's not the punishment. The punishment for a drug charge, the punishment for armed robbery is not, now you're going to be choked to death on the street by a police officer on camera. That's not what the punishment is, but conservatives don't care. And what's crazy is it's not like he did it that day. It's not like earlier that day he had robbed someone with a gun. This is something that happened like years before in his past. And a lot of people that know him were like, yeah, he had a pretty sordid history, but he had worked really hard to be involved in his community and to make up for the wrongs that he had done. But conservatives don't care. Like, if they can just find a negative thing that a person did at some point in their past, they're like, ah, good, cool. So he deserved to have his windpipe kneeled on, and he deserved to be choked out to death. Yeah, sure, fine, whatever. And it's so crazy, because, like, they can't even find a good reason to feel the way they feel. They're just like, I just don't really see black people as human beings. Like, that's really what it is, right? They're just like, I just don't really feel bad when I hear that a black person's dead, my default response is they probably had it coming. And then if anyone can offer me anything that justifies that default response, I'll grab onto that and go like, yeah, that's good enough. Sounds good to me. Yeah, I guess he did some drugs at one point. And in his autopsy, he had some meth and some fentanyl in his system. So yeah, sure. Like, I guess that's good enough for me to not feel bad about this at all. But like, George Floyd is one of those cases where they actually can find something, anything at all. There are just so many instances where the person that they're celebrating the death of, literally, they have no evidence whatsoever of any wrongdoing. I mentioned that Venezuelan boat that was just blown up by the American Navy recently, and how conservative America was just like, yeah, fuck yeah, America number one, fuck yeah. And we were all horrified by it because we were like, we don't even know who was in the boat. It was just a boat of Venezuelan civilians. Like, for all we know, it could be people who are trying to escape, refugees who are seeking asylum. We genuinely don't know who it is. And in the conservative hive mind, them being refugees is a good enough reason to blow the boat up.
People are so upset about the Venezuelan boat getting bombed. They didn't have a fair trial. Those poor people. They had a trial by the U.S. Navy. The missile was the judge, the jury, and the executioner.
Let's assume that it's like the worst case scenario that a lot of conservatives might think it is. Let's assume that they're like drug smugglers and gang members on that boat. Again, the punishment for drug smuggling and for being a member of a Venezuelan gang is not to be executed on the spot by the U.S. Navy and just blown up by a missile. That's not how our laws work here. That's not how justice works. And again, we can't even know what they actually did or who they actually were. We just fucking killed them, knowing nothing about them. And conservative America did not need any other information other than like, well, it's not like a white Christian conservative guy, right? It wasn't like a boat full of white Christian conservative families, was it? It wasn't. That's not who was on the boat. Okay, good. Then fuck them. I literally don't care. I mentioned how in 2019, Donald Trump sent SEAL Team 6 in to North Korea to plant a listening device somewhere. And on that mission, they came across a bunch of North Korean fishermen and just murdered them. Conservative America hears this story and they just go, fuck yeah, SEAL Team 6, American number one, greatest military in the world, motherfucker. They don't need to know any other information. They're just like, oh, so like some not white people, so you're telling me like a group of people who were not white Christian conservative American families were killed by Navy SEALs and I'm supposed to care? I don't give a fuck. Did they speak English? They spoke Korean? Oh my God, I literally don't give a fuck. Like, kill them. I don't care at all. How about Breonna Taylor, right? So, you know, you can look at George Floyd and go, well, you know, I think personally that even if, you know, we shouldn't be cheering, we shouldn't be excited that he died. Yes, he's a father with kids, but like, he wasn't a perfect person and he did commit some bad crimes. So we should be honest about that. You know, maybe we shouldn't lionize him. Maybe there shouldn't be murals of him. I disagree with you. I disagree with your assessment of the situation because it's about more than just George Floyd. It's about institutional racism. It's about systems of power that devalue black life and that feel like it's okay to choke out a black man in the street for literally no reason. It's just bigger than George Floyd. So I disagree with your assessment, but even if that is your assessment that you're like, at the end of the day, he was a criminal. Let's talk about Breonna Taylor. Breonna Taylor was asleep in her home and the police showed up at her home while she was asleep and murdered her in her sleep. And they were at the wrong fucking house. And they weren't indicted for murder. Derek Chauvin at least went to prison for murder. Derek Chauvin, who killed George Floyd, went to prison. Breonna Taylor was murdered in her sleep by a gang of police members who were not even at the right address. And they weren't indicted for murder. The woman literally did nothing. And again, the conservative American response was just, so? I'm sorry, you want me to care about that? Cry harder, libs. Why would I care about that? Is Breonna Taylor a white, straight, conservative, Christian capitalist with a family, with kids? No? Cool, then what the fuck are you talking about? I'm supposed to care about that? These people fucking suck. They suck so much. They celebrated when it was announced that the police officers that murdered her in her sleep were not indicted. Back the blue, baby! Fuck yeah, cops, America, guns and trucks and Jesus and Bible and Trump! Fuck yeah! She was a completely innocent person. She had a family. She was murdered in her sleep. What the fuck are we even talking about? Yeah, but Austin, he has kids, okay? He has kids, though. I know that George Floyd had kids, but Charlie Kirk has kids. Immigrants have kids. You know, it's so crazy. Oh my God. It's so crazy to see so many conservatives online being like, he was a father. His kids are going to be forever traumatized. And those exact same people, we've been watching them gleefully cheering all year long as immigrant families are being torn apart, as immigrant children are screaming and crying, screaming for their moms and dads, mommy, daddy, please, please don't take my mom, please don't take my dad. And their dad is ripped away from them. Their dad, who is at immigration court, who is trying to go through the legal process of solidifying his American citizenship, who is in the process of following the letter of the law, and ICE shows up and throws their dad in a truck, black bags and people in masks, and little kids are screaming, crying, you know, and for the rest of their lives, they're going to experience that trauma. And conservative America is just dancing. They're just hitting the gritty. They're buying alligator Alcatraz shirts and going, suck on that, libs. And we're pointing out to them, hey, do you know that the overwhelming majority of these people that are being thrown in these concentration camps, do you know that the overwhelming majority of them are not criminals? They have no criminal record. They haven't done anything. They're not violent criminals. They're just people who, like, work on farms. They're taxpayers. They're people who work in the restaurants that you go to. They're just people who live in your community and contribute to your society and pay taxes. Don't fucking care. Charlie Kirk has kids, but I don't give a fuck about their kids because they're brown. They have brown skin. They're not white, straight, conservative, Christian people. So we don't give a fuck about them. Palestinians have kids. Kids in Gaza. I mentioned that earlier. Kids in Gaza killed in front of their parents every single day. Parents killed in front of their kids every single day. Charlie Kirk said Palestine is not a real place and the Palestinians aren't a real people. And therefore, they don't actually deserve to exist. He said Israel has every right to exterminate them and wipe them off the face of the earth. He had kids. Yeah, dude, entire families, entire bloodlines are being ended in Gaza. But why are they doing all this? Why this incredibly disingenuous, insincere performance of grief and emotion over Charlie Kirk? Well, I mean, among other things, one of the primary reasons is they want to be able to kind of feel smugly superior to liberals and leftists for even just a moment, but also they're using this to ramp up and escalate political violence against the left. Over and over and over, you're seeing in their messaging that the violence in America is a particularly left-wing issue. This is what the president said on Fox and Friends. This is why this is stochastic terrorism, because his followers are taking that message and running with it and saying, this is the left's problem to own. The left are the ones with the blood on their hands, and the left are the ones who are going to pay.
I'm going to say this. Democrats own what happened today. Just because you speak your mind on an issue doesn't mean you get shot.
Then, by that logic, do Republicans own the shooting of the two Democratic lawmakers in Minnesota?
Political?
Isn't this on both sides?
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm asking
you a
serious
question. We don't know what condition Charlie Kirk is in right now. Some raging leftist lunatic put a bullet through his neck, and you want to talk about Republicans right now? No.
What Nancy Mace is saying in that video is fucking insane, because Democrats everywhere have denounced what happened to Charlie Kirk. So when she says Democrats have to own this, first of all, it's crazy because her Democrat colleagues are denouncing this, as they always do. Every time an act of senseless gun violence happens in America, they always come out and say, hey, we've really got to do something about the gun violence problem. Also, it's fucking crazy because, like, yeah, some Democrats have taken money from the gun lobby. I even made a video earlier this week about how Democrats, I was like, sure, Nancy Mace, Democrats take money from the gun lobby, and Democrats don't do enough to push for common sense gun law reform when they're in power. So I definitely hold them accountable. But I actually looked into it, and it's like, Yeah, it's still like 89% of the money from the gun lobby that goes into politics is taken by Republicans. And like, of fucking course it is. So it's so insane for Nancy Mace to be like, this is something Democrats need to own. As though, again, like we don't have the clear receipts that historically left-wing voters, I don't really give a fuck about our representatives or the politicians and whose lobby money they're taking, but left-wing voters have been on the side of having common sense gun law reform. We're the ones who have been saying, we want something done about this. We are tired of hearing thoughts and prayers because that does not do anything. That has no substance. We want something substantive done that can actually address the problem. And you know what's really so insulting is whenever they go, bans aren't going to work. It's not going to work to just ban it. People will just find guns anyway. It's like, can we fucking try? Can we at least fucking try?
Hi there, back for some more additional helpful context. We actually did try something like this in the mid-90s. In 1994, we had an assault weapons ban that expired in 2005. Now, a lot of people go back and forth over what the data actually shows as to the efficacy of this ban. Some people say that mass casualty events with semi-automatic weapons went up as much as 200% after the ban expired in 2005, and some people say that those numbers are misleading or unreliable because of how those studies were done. They go back and forth about what we specifically mean when we say a mass casualty event with a semi-automatic weapon, and how that goes into the data. One thing that is incredibly clear is that mass casualty events with specific weapons like the AR-15 have exploded in regularity in the United States since that assault weapon ban expired in 2005. You can go back and forth on the exact percentages of how much it's gone up, but it's gone up. It's gone up significantly. And also, we're not the only country in the world that you can look to see if bans like this are effective, because other countries have bans like the one we used to have, and it fucking works. The data is just clear. Even if we could reduce these events by 10%, wouldn't it fucking be worth it? And these people say, no, because we need to be able to defend ourselves against a tyrannical government. What, you mean like a tyrannical government that goes around with masks, throwing people into vans, and disappearing them to foreign torture facilities without due process? You mean like that? You mean like a tyrannical government where a dictator unleashes the National Guard in American cities and declares war on American cities? We have a tyrannical government, and none of these motherfuckers are using their Second Amendment right to resist it. So it's bullshit. It's a moot point again. The gun debate is so fucking old and frustratingly stupid. The problem is so obvious, and the solution is so obvious. Okay, back to the video. Let us try it. And if it doesn't work, if it doesn't decrease the amount of gun deaths, we'll concede the point that you guys were right. But they won't even fucking let us try. And also, again, no conservative position is consistent with the next position. It's contradiction, contradiction, contradiction. These are also people who are constantly banning shit, constantly banning books, trying to ban reproductive health in America, constantly trying to ban gay marriage, trying to ban gender-affirming care for trans kids. These people are obsessed with banning things they don't like. But yeah, this whole point of like, it's the left. The left are the ones that are violent. I can't even tell you how many people I've seen saying, show me the last time that a right-wing person attacked someone on the left like this. They genuinely say this, and then like their comments will be full of like thousands of people saying, hey, Melissa Hortman. Melissa Hortman was a Democrat senator from Minnesota who was murdered in her home with her husband and dog just a few months ago. This just happened. She was assassinated. And we actually tried to get you guys to acknowledge it because nobody on the right even said anything about it. Here's how we know conservatives are full of shit. Here's how we know their performance is not genuine, because when they post this, whenever they go on Threads or X or whatever, Facebook, and say, when was the last time a right-wing person attacked a left-wing person? And you say, Melissa Hortman was just assassinated in her home with her husband. They don't go, oh, my bad. Sorry, I didn't know about that. Which also, like, by the way, that would be bad. It'd be bad if, like, at this point, a person was like, oh, I hadn't heard of that. But it's like, we know that they do know. So I've seen several of these posts where they literally have thousands of replies of people being like, this just happened. They don't delete the post. They just
surge ahead and just go, yeah, it's never happened before. A right-wing person has never been violent to the left-wing. Ron DeSantis just painted over the Pulse nightclub memorial in Florida. One of the most deadly mass shootings ever targeted at a minority group in American history. And Ron DeSantis said, let's paint over the memorial. It's too political. Let's get rid of it. So activists showed up and said, absolutely the fuck not. And they painted it back. And conservative America said, that's vandalism. Throw those people in jail. The same people who were going, when's the last time someone from the right wing attacked someone from the left? Just a few weeks ago, were criticizing people from the left because they were trying to repaint a memorial for a time where they were slaughtered by a right-wing maniac. And they're like, ah, I guess it just never happens. Even though they were fucking in our comments, in our DMs going, Ron DeSantis is right. He should get rid of that memorial and they shouldn't repaint it. That's vandalism. America shouldn't have political memorials. The same motherfuckers who get mad when we take down Confederate statues, when we take down statues of Confederate leaders, the Confederacy that defected because they wanted to own people as slaves. Those same motherfuckers got mad because we wanted to repaint the memorial for the Pulse nightclub shooting victims. When you take all of this and you weigh all of this evidence, there is no question that these people are not serious, that they are not being sincere with these performative displays of emotion over Charlie Kirk. It is so obvious that they don't actually give a fuck about any of this stuff, that when they say, I can't believe how violent the left is. This is a specific problem on the left. And we show them irrefutable evidence and proof of the violence coming from the right, the statistics that show that the right is significantly more violent and that the rhetoric from the right inspires more violence. They don't give a fuck. Okay, Austin, you say, hey, I get you. I got it. But shouldn't we all at least be able to agree that a guy shouldn't be killed simply for having opinions you don't like? This is my least favorite whitewashing of Charlie Kirk's life and the Charlie Kirk shooting, is this idea that he was just killed for having opinions, for just having ideas that people don't like, just for having an opinion, just for saying something that people disagree with. It's such a dismissive and disingenuous and dishonest way of characterizing what happened, because the follow-up question should always be, what were those opinions? Okay, if you believe that that was Tyler Robinson's motivation to kill him, if you believe that that's why he killed him is because of his opinions, which opinions are you talking about? Let me be clear. This is not me saying that a person should be assassinated simply for holding an opinion that you don't like or that someone disagrees with. But like, that's such an oversimplification of what's actually going on here, right? Let's actually take a look at some of Charlie Kirk's most prominent opinions. Again, I want to be clear. I don't think that someone should be killed for simply having an opinion that I don't like, but I also think that we need to be clear what opinions we're talking about. So we are about to look at a bunch of Charlie Kirk's opinions, which means I need to remind the YouTube algorithm, the AI that scrubs through these videos, to look for any excuse to ban them, or any human mods who might be watching, that I am not Charlie Kirk. These are not my words or opinions. I disagree with these opinions, and I am giving editorial commentary on these opinions. These are all words that he has said on his public-facing platforms that he has gotten millions of views and made millions of dollars for saying. I just want to make that clear. And also to anyone out there who doesn't want to watch several minutes of just unfiltered Charlie Kirk nonsense, you can skip ahead to the timestamp on the screen. If you're listening to the audio version of this, you can just fast forward until it's over. But be prepared, we're about to hear a lot of unhinged racism, misogyny, transphobia, homophobia, every form of bigotry you can imagine. So gird your loins properly.
Point is that it's so materially insane to think that one in five American women will be raped in their life.
It is. I agree.
No, meaning that they're lying about being raped.
I think it's worth to have a cost of, unfortunately, some gun deaths every single year so that we can have the Second Amendment to protect our other God-given rights.
Native-born Americans, you better buy weapons, everybody. Have a lot of guns at your disposal. I would never leave your home without a weapon.
Can't stand the word empathy. Actually, I think empathy is a made up new age term that
it does a lot of damage. But
I fully acknowledge and admit when you allow gun ownership, you're going to have gun deaths. There is a cost to liberty.
I'm sorry. If I see a black pilot, I'm going to be like, boy, I hope he's qualified.
Truly, in your heart of hearts, truly believe that this is a human being. This,
without a doubt.
Without a doubt?
Yes.
This is a dolphin fetus.
This, we're a truth-seeking show. But I can say declaratively, this guy is not worthy of a national holiday. He is not worthy of godlike status. In fact, I think it's really harmful. Kirk describes King as, quote, a bad guy. It's true. And Kirk self-described very, very radical. View that the country made a mistake when it passed the Civil Rights Act. Also true. Once a week, we talk about why the Civil Rights Act was a mistake.
So if you had a daughter and she was 10 and she got raped and she was going to give birth and she would, and she was going to give birth and she was going to live, would you want her to go through that and carry her baby?
That's awfully graphic.
But it's a real life scenario that happens to many people.
The answer is yes, the baby would be delivered.
We're trying to get the officer who murdered George Floyd pardon, and I just want to know what your reasoning was about that.
Well, George Floyd didn't die because of the police officer. He died largely because of a drug overdose.
I'm dealing with somebody in customer service who's a moronic black woman. I wonder, is she there because of her excellence, or is she there because of affirmative action?
You do not have the brain processing power to otherwise be taken really seriously. You had to go steal a white person's slot to go be taken somewhat seriously. It shows they were actually better in the 1940s. It was bad. It was evil. But what happened? Something changed. They committed less crimes.
Maybe they were afraid. I mean, 4,000 black men, women, and children were killed lynch mobs.
If that's your explanation. But I guess,
racial terror permeated American culture for hundreds of years.
Black America is worse than it has been
that affected
in the last 80 years. Is
in Leviticus 18, is that thou shalt lay with another man shall be stoned to death. Just saying. So, Miss Rachel, you quote Leviticus 19, love your neighbor as yourself. The chapter before affirms God's perfect law when it comes to sexual matters. Jewish communities have been pushing the exact kind of hatred against whites that they claim to want people to stop using against them. Because Jewish donors have been the number one funding mechanism of radical, open border, neoliberal, quasi-Marxist policies, cultural institutions, and nonprofits. This is a beast created by secular Jews. What Jewish Democrats or Jews in general are going to have to make a decision. Until you crush the cultural Marxist lens of which they view the world, you will never actually be able to build support for Israel.
I don't think the place exists.
What?
Because it doesn't. It's called Judea and Samaria. It's not
so
called Palestine.
You don't believe that Palestine have the right to exist?
No. Everyone has a right to exist. Show me where it is. It's a non-existent place. One issue I think that is so against our senses, so against the natural law, and dare I say, a throbbing middle finger to God, is the transgender thing happening in America right now.
So, you know, it's funny. I used to say that, hey, if you as a gay person would go to Gaza, they'd throw you off of tall buildings, right? Now they don't have any tall buildings left, so I don't.
When you mess with the bull, you get the horns.
Is that too soon? Maybe you shouldn't kill Jews, stupid Muslims.
We actually need looser gun laws because I think that
Gun laws?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially in states like Chicago and Illinois, where very basic Second Amendment rights. You ask very specifically about democracy, which is not an American value. It never has been and never should be. What's happening at the Democrat Party is this very sinister combination. It's a party of censorship. It's a party of war, a party of open borders that is against actual traditional liberal values. Men are much better at macro topics, right? Trying to build a building, put a skyscraper up, trying to talk geopolitics. When you go and you see five women eating lunch, they're probably talking about conversations they had, relationships, friendships. Men, they're talking about politics, sports, or the stock market. This is feminism. You as a woman should want to be provided for. In fact, you should have an expectation that you as a woman are so important and so critical and so necessary and beautiful that it shouldn't even be a question.
But the context, they say. What's the context? You keep quoting him out of context. Everyone is quoting him out of context. If anyone would use the proper context, they would see that these videos are not misogynistic, are not racist. First of all, it's crazy. The gaslighting coming from the right is so crazy in the wake of this man's death. The way that they are just so desperate to wash away any impurities on his record, it's so wild to witness. And the way that they all speak in lockstep, that like every day since it happened, they've all had a unified message. Like day one, they were all saying the same thing, which was like, the left is evil and we're coming for you. And then day two, they were like, anyone that I see talking bad about this, we're coming for your job. Lately, it's all been the context. You guys are taking him out of context. First of all, what other prominent figure can you think of where you could find this many quote unquote out of context clips that make them look like a completely unhinged bigot? Like, could you go right now and find me a trove of out of context clips that make Mr. Rogers look like a bigot? And we don't even need to make it somebody who's that universally beloved. We could make it like Barack Obama. Obviously, the right hates Barack Obama. And hey, I'm even willing to admit as a big soy boy lib that Barack Obama was a war criminal, because every president of the United States is a war criminal. It just sort of comes with the job description. But if Barack Obama died today, would you be able to go and find a bunch of out of context clips that make it look like Barack Obama was a raging anti-Semite? Just a bunch of clips that are out of context where Obama's saying things like, you can't trust Jews, but then when you play the full clip, it's like, oh, hold on, look at the full context. And he's like, listen, I'm not saying that I hate Jewish people, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying they're kind of sneaky and you can't trust them. And it's like, okay, yeah, the full context of that clip made it worse. It didn't make it better. But like, would you be able to do that? And isn't it at least fucking insane how easy it is to just immediately find so many clips of Charlie Kirk where it appears that he is a total misogynist, a raging racist, and, you know, every manner of bigot in the book? But it's nuts, you know, the gaslighting has been so effective, it even sort of worked on me. Like, after a few days of all of these people being like, you're taking him out of context, you don't really understand his work, you don't really understand his words and what he really did, I started actually thinking, like, am I tripping here? Like, am I misremembering who Charlie Kirk was? Like, was I too harsh on him? And so I just went over to his Threads account. I was like, you know what? I don't really need to look at all of the conjecture in the comment sections of what different people are saying about him. I can just go straight to the horse's mouth and just see, you know, kind of what he was all about on a day-to-day basis. And I just scrolled through the last 2 months of his life, just the last 2 months of posts of his life. This guy was a public figure for over 10 years. And I just was like, let me see if I can find anything just in the last few weeks, you know, last few months that looks racist or misogynistic. It was only that shit. It was just exclusively stochastic terrorism. It was just exclusively posts that were heinously racist, heinously misogynistic, heinously homophobic and transphobic. I'm just going to read to you a few key excerpts from the last few months of his work. Remember, this is like a small handful of quotes from this man from just the very last few months that he was alive. I'm not editing these things. I'm not taking them out of context. You can just go look for yourself at his account on X or his account on Threads. This is just who he was and what he was about on a day-to-day basis. Caroline Leavitt touts the closure of the single largest gender clinic in the country. In Los Angeles. One day, we will look back on gender insanity as one of the darkest periods of American history, an era President Trump brought to an end. Evil is on retreat across America. Gender-affirming care has been proven time and time again to reduce suicidality in trans youth. It has been proven to improve quality of life for transgender youth. And Charlie Kirk thinks that it's one of the most evil things we've ever done, that we should be letting those kids die. That's the subtext. That's why Charlie Kirk is a stochastic terrorist, because of what's not said in this post. A woman on TikTok celebrates U.S. birth rates dropping to a new low. Let's set our sights on another decline for 2025. The American left is a death cult. Stochastic terrorism, painting the American left as a death cult. Kirk doesn't want to talk about the fact that it's conservative policies that have led to people not wanting to have kids. We live on a dying planet, and our government does not seem to want to address the growing, rapidly approaching climate crisis that could be a mass extinction level event in the next few decades, where we're going to have increased climate catastrophes and people don't want to bring their kids into that world. He doesn't want to talk about the economic policies of the right that make people not want to have kids. They're like, I literally can't take care of myself. How the fuck am I supposed to take care of a kid? He doesn't want to talk about conservative policies that are restricting reproductive health care, where women are like, I won't have access to prenatal care that could be life-saving for me if I get pregnant. He just wants to tell his followers that the left, their ideological enemies, they're a death cult. There's a lot you can call Donald Trump. No one has ever called him feminine. Trump is a giant middle finger to all the screeching hall monitors that attacked young men for just existing. He's a giant FU to the feminist establishment that was never challenged before he came down the golden escalator. Yeah, that's right, Charlie. The guy who famously cakes his face in bronzer every day and looks like he's never done a push-up in his life is the pinnacle of masculinity. Culture matters, history matters, museums matter. There's a reason immigrants don't assimilate and why young kids are taught to hate their country. Americans have so much to be proud of. This is the greatest republic on the planet. The Smithsonian, the national museum system of our great capital city, should reflect our national greatness. This is Charlie Kirk celebrating the Trump administration's move to literally censor history in the Smithsonian Museum. They don't want the Smithsonian and any national museums to talk accurately about America's racist history. They don't want to talk about, speak accurately about chattel slavery in America. They don't want anybody teaching about, they certainly don't want anybody teaching about the eradication of Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You know, Charlie Kirk is a nationalist, a white nationalist who wants a falsified, whitewashed version of American history where America was always great, we never did anything bad, we never did anything wrong. The White House just posted this. Still not a Maryland dad. MS-13, so this is Kilmar Abrego-Garcia, a man who has never been proven to be a member of the gang MS-13. The White House just said that about him. The DOJ just claimed that about him. Donald Trump famously used a horribly photoshopped picture of the man's knuckles to be like, look, he has a gang tattoo on his knuckles. There is no evidence that actually links Kilmar Abrego-Garcia to MS-13, but the White House is just saying, no, MS-13, he was MS-13, and Charlie Kirk was like, yep. And, you know, of course they're doing this picture of Kilmar Abrego-Garcia in the style of Obama's campaign posters from 2008, right? It's racist. It's just fucking like, we don't need evidence to accuse brown people of being criminals. We can just do it, and we can all just sort of celebrate it. If you are crazy enough to want to hormonally and surgically change your sex, you have a mental disorder, and you are too crazy to own a firearm. Charlie, you're talking about taking people's Second Amendment rights away? Their right to protect their God-given constitutional rights? You want to take that away from them? This is the most hypocritical fucking thing ever for Charlie Kirk to post. But what else is new? Charlie Kirk was a popular right-wing mouthpiece, which means Charlie Kirk is obviously going to be a hypocrite of the highest order. Importing millions of Muslims is civilizational suicide. Europe must stop or die. Breaking! President Trump is expected to sign an executive order on Friday, officially reverting the Department of Defense back to its original name, the Department of War. Secretary Pete Hegseth will be referred to as Secretary of War. I like it. Breaking! Shares of Kenvue, the maker of Tylenol, fall 10% after news spreads that HHS Secretary RFK Jr. is set to release a report linking Tylenol use during pregnancy to autism. God damn it, fuck this guy, dude. If you scroll through his feed, it's only this shit. It's just racist, misogynistic, deeply transphobic bigotry separated occasionally by grifting. Like, when he's not doing this, he's selling hats and shirts. Every time he's not doing this, he's like, by the way, we got a new fucking hat. By the way, we got a new fucking shirt. Go get our shirt. And you know his followers were lapping that shit up. We're not taking the quotes out of context, right? When you add the context to the videos that I showed, often it just makes them worse. But let's talk about his followers, right? Because if they insist that we are misunderstanding all of these takes, all of these opinions, if they insist that we're taking them out of context and that he wasn't actually racist, then how come they're all so racist? Why are his most devoted fans at vigils doing this?
White man, fight back!
Why are Nazis showing up to grieve Charlie Kirk and chanting Nazi slogans? If the quote where Charlie Kirk called George Floyd a scumbag, if that was taken out of context, then why do all of his followers keep repeating it? Why do they all agree that, yes, George Floyd was a scumbag? Why do they all repeat the lie that that George Floyd died of an overdose? That was a lie that Charlie Kirk pushed. There is no evidence supporting that lie, by the way. We've covered that. That is clear. The autopsy report was clear on that. He was murdered. But Charlie Kirk's racist followers keep saying, no, he was a scumbag. He did die of an overdose. I'm about to show you the very best clip I could find of Charlie Kirk. And I just want to let you know, it was so much harder for me to find this clip in an attempt to steel man him. It was so much harder for me to find this take than it was to find all of his terrible bigoted takes that he's offered up over the years. But let's take a look at this because it is important to the context of what we've been talking about throughout this entire video.
Up until about 5 years ago when gay marriage was legalized nationwide, the conservative movement has been explicitly pro-traditional family. Now, both you and your organization advocate for the acceptance of anti-Christian, immoral lifestyles like homosexuality and transsexuality, going as far to invite drag queens like Lady MAGA to your events. It seems to me and anyone who's paying attention that conservatives just believe whatever liberals believed 5 years ago. Right now, there is a push by the left to normalize pedophilia by way of child drag queen shows and rebranding pedophiles as minor attracted persons. 5 years from now, will you be promoting child drag queen shows?
Boy, that's a slippery slope fallacy if I've ever seen one. First of all, I've never invited a drag queen to come to any Turning Point USA event. Secondly, let me ask you a question. Are you a Trump supporter?
Yes, sir.
So are you a proud Trump supporter?
Of course.
So are you sickened that he had a gay man speak at his convention?
Yes.
Then you're not a Trump supporter, my friend. Thank you very much. I believe marriage, biblically, if we want to have a biblical and theological discussion as articulated in the greatest book ever to exist in the history of the world, the Holy Bible. I also do not believe in the sort of rhetoric that some people engage in, that all of a sudden that they say there's no place for gay people in the conservative movement. I do not believe that.
That's not conservative. And
let me ask you a question. What if you had your way, what would you do with gay people in America?
What would I do with them? I would.
Yeah, because they're not allowed in the conservative movement. So would you just kick them out anytime they show up at a Republican party? If you were in charge, like what would you say? You can't be part of the Republican Party.
If somebody is advocating for being openly homosexual, yeah, they should not be part of the conservative movement.
So in that video, Charlie Kirk is at a public debate where he is challenged by someone in the audience who basically wants him to take a firmer stance. Remember that? Sound familiar? Against the queer community, who feels like he's too soft on them. And Charlie Kirk kind of comes back at him and says, hey, do you consider yourself a Trump supporter? And the kid says, yeah. And he goes, well, if you don't accept gay people on the right in the conservative movement, then you are not a Trump supporter and you're not a friend of ours and you're not on our team. And you could almost look at that and go, okay, based, Charlie, cool. Cool take, Charlie, even though Charlie Kirk has been really, really clear that he believes that homosexuality is against the Bible and that it is counter to the plan of God, and he still believes that his gay friends like Dave Rubin and Peter Thiel are sinners who are probably going to go to hell if they don't repent. So that's what I mean, like, in the context of who Charlie is, even though Charlie's still a conservative religious bigot who does think that queer people are an affront to God and sinning against God, even though he's that person, he was still willing to defend them as his teammates in his cause. But this questioner is like, no, I don't think we should accept them as teammates. I think that if we're going to say our belief is that they are sinning against God, if we're going to talk about that, we should be about that. And Charlie Kirk kind of like tries to push this kid like, well, what would you do about them? Trying to push him to the natural conclusion of like, do you want us to just eradicate them? And I think that kid's position is like, fuck yeah, dude. That's what I want you to do. And the reason why I wanted to play this clip is because that kid in that clip is a groiper. This is a thing that Nick Fuentes was doing to Charlie Kirk for the last few years of his life. He was sending people from the Groyper Army to Charlie Kirk debates to ask questions like that that would expose Charlie as being too soft. The Groyper movement looked at Charlie Kirk and said, dude, you talk all this shit about how being gay is a sin and how being trans is evil, but then when we try to get you to actually take a meaningful stance and say what's underneath that, say what you mean, you won't say it. And again, it's like, even though the Groyper movement is more extreme and more openly violent and more openly vitriolic than Charlie Kirk was, they're being more honest about what all of the rhetoric means. Charlie Kirk can't be honest because he's a stochastic terrorist. His success relies on him using vague rhetoric where he talks out of both sides of his mouth and says out of one side of his mouth, yes, I think homosexuality is a sin. And yes, you know, the Bible talked about how you should stone homosexuals. But out of the other side of his mouth says, well, I've got to be partners with Dave Rubin and Peter Thiel. I've got to accept them as my partners, mostly because he gets that having queer people in the conservative movement, it's a useful prop for him, right? He gets to go, I'm not queerphobic. I'm not homophobic. I've got gay friends. I'm not racist. I've got black friends. Conservatives like Charlie Kirk and Ben Shapiro and Matt Walsh, they love to have the occasional token person from a marginalized community on their team, not because they actually accept the humanity of those people, but because they can use those people as a gaslighting tactic, right? They can go like, no, I'm not a hateful bigot. Look, I'm in a picture with Candace Owens. Could I possibly be racist if I went to dinner with Candace Owens one time? Could I possibly be transphobic if I shook Blair White's hand one time? Even though all of their rhetoric very clearly points their audience to the inescapable conclusion that trans people are evil, that gay people are evil and they should be eradicated, but they don't say that part out loud. They stop just shy of that part, and that's where Nick Fuentes and the Groypers get off the boat with them. That's why they show up at the debates and go, hey man, fucking be about it. Fucking stand 10 toes down on this shit with us and say it with your full chest. We need no more evidence that Tyler Robinson was definitely a Groyper than how hard the right is crashing out over him being a Groyper. Like, how hard they are trying to gaslight us into thinking that he wasn't a Groyper. This text message exchange that the FBI released that is apparently between Tyler Robinson and his trans roommate is fucking crazy. It's insane how obviously forged it is. It's insane how obviously fake it is. And so many conservative influencers have also shared this photo going, look, here's Tyler Robinson in a Democrat Socialist of America shirt. And it's been pointed out to them over and over and over again in their comments. That's not fucking Tyler Robinson. It doesn't even look like him. This guy is not the same guy as this guy, but this guy definitely is the same guy as this guy. And the fact that they are working overtime to try to deny that he's very clearly a far-right extremist, the fact that they are working this hard to try to debunk this and try to like insist that he's on the left, even though he wrote, if you read this, you're gay, LMAO, on one of the shell casings, which is something no leftist would ever write on a shell casing. But the fact that they're working this hard is all the evidence we should need to understand the call is coming from inside the house, right? They wanted so badly for it to be somebody else. Spencer Cox, the governor from Utah, famously prayed that it would be an immigrant, that it would be like someone from not here. He wanted so badly for it to not be a white person. He wanted so badly for it to be a brown immigrant. He wanted it so badly to be a gender nonconforming leftist. And when it wasn't, he just was like, ah, shit, it's one of us. And that's what they're all doing right now. They're all going, damn it, we talked all this shit about how violent the left is, about how the left is a death cult. Now what? But of course they can't walk it back. Of course they can't have any integrity. Of course you shouldn't expect them to. That's the legacy of Charlie Kirk. Just tell lies and never, ever, ever admit that you were lying, no matter how much evidence comes out to prove that you were lying. And that's the other thing I want to talk about. That's the last thing I want to talk about in this section about opinions, is that lies are not valid opinions. I'm really tired of explaining why some opinions are less valid than others. And this person nailed it on TikTok, so I'm just going to play his video because I'm exhausted.
I think I like Coke more than Pepsi.
Really?
Because I like Pepsi more than Coke.
Yeah, I think Pepsi's just a little too sweet for me.
And I don't like Coke because there's too much poop in it.
What?
Oh, you didn't know this? Yeah, Coke is like 90% poop.
No, it isn't.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Well, you're wrong.
Look, man, we just got a difference of opinion. You like Coke, I like Pepsi. You like drinking poop, I don't.
I don't like drinking poop!
I don't know what to tell you, man. You like drinking Coke, there's poop in Coke, so why are you lying about there being poop in Coke?
I'm not lying, it's just my opinion.
But that's wrong. Your opinion is wrong.
My opinion is wrong? I thought we were just having an honest discussion, but you seem really disingenuous.
Your opinion is based off incorrect facts.
Well, that's just your opinion.
Fine, well then in my opinion, I don't like Pepsi because it's got pee in it.
Does it really?
Yes?
Huh. Good, because I like pee.
What?
Yep, I drink pee all the time.
No, you don't.
I'm sorry, are you presuming to know more about my life than me?
No, but I just made up that there's pee in Pepsi.
Typical flip-flop. Look, if there wasn't pee in Pepsi, then why would I drink pee every day?
Wait, do you really drink pee every day?
Yep, I drink pee every day and you drink poop every day. Both sides are equally valid.
I don't drink poop!
So yeah, that person nailed it. And also I really feel like I saw this comment and I just felt like this nailed it as well. This person wrote, "To consider bigotry an opinion is to consider arsenic a flavor." I guess technically you could say arsenic has a flavor, but let's call it what it really is. It's poison that will kill you. And that's what Charlie Kirk's opinions were. They were poisonous. They were poisonous lies that he told to stoke violence and hatred into the world. Listen, I know it's not fun to listen to this many raw, unfiltered, terrible takes from a mega bigot like Charlie Kirk, but I think it's important that we do this because when I did this the other day and I scrolled through his Threads feed, I shared what I found on social media, and so many people in my comments were like, you know, I think I knew it was bad, but I didn't realize it was this bad. I sort of thought maybe people were overblowing it a little bit. I didn't realize that it was actually this bad. And that's a problem because it means that the conservative attempt to whitewash his legacy, the conservative attempt to collectively gaslight all of us into immediately forgetting what kind of person he really was, is on some level working. People are going, maybe he really wasn't that bad. And I need to reiterate, all of these takes that I've just shared with you are not even his worst takes. They're just his most recent takes. I am literally just scratching the surface. This is just the very, very tip of the iceberg. The point is, when it comes to Charlie Kirk's opinions, there should be no confusion. No one should be ambivalent about who this man was and what he stood for. He leaves behind a very thorough and scathing collection of clear, consistent receipts that show a definitive pattern of ignorant, harmful bigotry and stochastic terrorism. Well, I don't like it when anybody does it, Austin, okay? I don't like it when the left does it. I don't like it when the right does it. Is that so bad? And there's so many white liberals who have this line. There's so many people who you see saying, look, I'm not going to bat for Charlie Kirk. I just don't think it's good when it happens to anybody. But what's really telling is if you see someone saying this, if you see someone saying, I don't like when it happens to anybody, go and check how often that person talks about how they feel about senseless acts of violence that are not committed against white, straight, Christian, conservative men with families. Seriously, go and see if that person ever talked about Breonna Taylor or George Floyd, if that person ever talks about all of the deaths in Gaza that happen every single day. Because here's the thing, when someone says, well, I don't like when anybody does it, but they're only saying that when it happens to someone like Charlie Kirk, when they're only radicalized and moved to speak up publicly when it happens to a white person, like a prominent white Christian conservative man with a family, it's really, really telling. Because they might be saying the words, I don't like it when
it happens to anyone. But if that's your position, then you always need to be speaking up. Every single time there's a mass shooting, you need to be speaking up and make sure your voice is heard, that you are consistent on this, that you can say, check back through my history, I've been consistent. I'm never in favor of this happening. Anytime it happens, when it happened to Melissa Hortman, I spoke out about it. When it happened to Breonna Taylor, when it happens to all of the different school children that it's happened to, no matter who it happens to, I've been against it. If you can show that that conviction of yours is consistent, then I'll maybe take this argument seriously. But if you're only saying this every time it's someone like Brian Thompson or Charlie Kirk, I don't take you seriously. And I think you're full of shit. And I actually think that if this is your position and this only comes up for you every time it's someone like Charlie Kirk or Brian Thompson, you need to fucking look inward and look at, like, why is that? What's going on there? Listen, I think I've made my case pretty clear. I was gonna do the talk back with the live digital TikTok studio audience, but I can't because TikTok fucking sucks and they banned my live access halfway through the live. Patreon.com/AustinArcher is a place where my content never gets censored. It's a place where all of my content goes early with bonus content and extended footage and sometimes exclusive content and, you know, exclusive live streams, all things like that, and it's $1 a month.
Oh my god, I was so close to being done with this video. I'm so tired, and I was so close to being done editing this video, and then this happened. Dude, there's no way this video isn't getting taken down. Doesn't matter. YouTube's taking the video down. The regime has total control over the message. All he did was be honest about who Tyler Robinson most likely is, the same way that I've just been honest about it in this video. And his show got taken off the air. This is unprecedented, you guys. Stephen Colbert and now Jimmy Kimmel. Unprecedented times. This doesn't happen normally. This isn't how a normal American presidential administration behaves. But this is the world we live in. My platforms are going to be gone soon. I don't see how it doesn't go that way. So yeah, patreon.com/AustinArcher. That's the only place where I can think that I can keep doing this if you're interested in continuing to support me. So
you can support me over there for $1 a month. These platforms, YouTube included, Instagram, all of them increasingly are censoring channels like mine. They're increasingly making it hard for my videos to get a reach. And I would love it if I could make Patreon my primary platform. I think I've said what I wanted to say in this video. I think I've made my case. These people are being performative right now. Right-wing conservatives on the internet are performing what it looks like to have a normal, humane, human reaction to someone dying unnecessarily from gun violence. And it might be moving and it might be something that you get caught up in. I would just urge you that if you are getting tricked by this, don't get pulled in by it. Don't buy into their bullshit. Don't allow them to flip the script. Don't allow them to pull the wool over your eyes and make you forget all of their behavior before this happened that runs counter to the performance that they're giving you right now. Don't believe it, okay? Don't fucking buy it. These people do not care about violence. They don't care about gun violence. They don't care about gun deaths. They don't care about people with kids dying. They don't care about the trauma that their beliefs cause. They don't give a shit about any of that. They're just pretending to care, and they're so that they can shame you and put themselves on a platform above you, and so that they can stoke and escalate violence against their political rivals. That's it. That's the show. People Pleaser is written, edited, hosted, and produced by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music also by me. You can find more of my music by going to austin-archer.com, austinarchermusic.bandcamp.com, the best place to support indie music. That is all linked in the description. Find it there. Yeah, I'm a musician. I make music. And patreon.com/AustinArcher. Shout out to the Patreon community. I love you guys. You guys are so awesome. And again, it's $1 a month. It's $10 for an entire year. It's an amount of money that you'll basically not even notice. And you can really, really help me do what I do here and help keep this alive while I continue to get censored by all of these different platforms. But that's it. Okay. those are my kind of full thoughts on this. Conservative America fucking sucks, and I'm just sick of the grossest, most immoral, most, you know, ethically and morally unhinged and deranged people on the planet lecturing me about my response to a really, really terrible person not being in the world anymore. Okay, that's it. Bye-bye. Idiotic nonsense, feeling like a fountain overflowing with no one knowing the difference between wrong and right. All day and all damn night, I got morons on my left and more on my right.